I really don't mean to offend you in what I'm about to say. I really do not mean to make anyone mad. It's not my desire to be rude. Don't interpret what I'm about to say as a critique. Yet these words need to be said. As we think about what we think about, candor demands that I be candid about this fact. You are a lot like a cow. So is your neighbor, your coworker, your preacher, even your spouse. Though, fellows, I would advise against mentioning this to her. You, me, and the moo maker, we have a lot in common. Our commonality has nothing to do with appearance, smell, or the fact that we belong in a barn. Ladies, you can mention that to your husband. So what do we have in common with our bovine buddies? We ruminate. We ruminate. Have you ever passed by a farm and wondered what those cows are up to as they're lying in the pasture? They're ruminating. During rumination, the cud, which is partially digested feed, is chewed and swallowed and regurgitated and re-chewed and re-swallowed and regurgitated. Cows typically chew their cud 6 to 8 hours a day, some 500 minutes. They chew, they gulp, they throw it back up in their mouth. They chew, they gulp, they throw it back up in their mouth. It just kind of ruined your appetite, didn't it? They ruminate. So do we. Cows chew on their cuds. We ruminate on our thoughts. We do. We think. We rethink. We think again. We consider. We reconsider. We consider again. We think it over. Think about. Think upon. We ponder, contemplate, fixate, deliberate, and ruminate. And that's okay. Just the way we are. We think a lot. And the fact that we think a bunch is not an issue. The fact that we can have a tendency to think unhealthy thoughts, now that can be a problem. I have it on good authority that a healthy cud results in a healthy cow. The coat is shiny, the milk is tasty, the muscles are sturdy, all because it's a good cud. That's no bull. I think you could have laughed a little more. I don't know. Can't the same be said about a person? The person who chews on or ruminates on bitter, unhealthy, negative thoughts is going to be bitter, unhealthy, and negative. Here's how a thought management therapist from the first century described it. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 5, verses 5 and 6, those who live following their sinful selves think only about things that their sinful selves want. But those who live following the Spirit are thinking about the things, look at all this stuff about thinking, thinking about the things the Spirit wants them to do. Now watch this. If people's thinking is controlled by the sinful self, there is death. There's sadness. There's darkness. But if their thinking is controlled by the Spirit, there is life and peace. And who doesn't want a little more life and peace? You can test the wisdom of this scripture and see for yourself. Ruminate for just a minute on these three phrases. I'll never get healthy. The world is against me. I'm a flop. I'm a failure. I'm a fool. Just say that over and over about 10 times. I'll never get healthy. The world is against me. I'm a flop. I'm a failure. I'm a fool. I'll never get bad, healthy. The world is against me. I'm a That's death, right? It leads to sadness. It leads to darkness. Doesn't put a blue in your sky or spring in your step. That's cruddy cud. By contrast, just chew on these thoughts just to see how it makes you feel. God is in control. I'm cherished by my Maker. Life isn't always easy, but God is always good, and He'll get me through this. God is in control. I'm cherished by my Maker. Life isn't always easy, but God is good, and He'll get me through this. And let that circulate in your brain and see how it just cleanses, how it enlightens. We are what we think. We are what we think. For that reason, God redeems the minds of His children. When a person says yes to Christ, Christ says yes to them. He writes their name in the book of life. He secures their salvation. He washes away all their sins. He gives spiritual gifts. He adopts us into His family. And don't forget this one. He gives us the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. We have the mind of Christ. I think that is such a stunning scripture. We have the potential to think like Jesus thought. We have the potential to think like Jesus thought. Did worry dominate the life of Christ? No, it needn't dominate ours. Was He undone by criticism? I don't think so. We don't have to be undone either. Did His joy depend upon the approval and popularity of people? Not at all. And our joy level doesn't have to depend upon the approval and popularity of the world. When things went bad, was Jesus hard on Himself? Not that I can tell. When things go bad, you don't need to be hard on yourself either. With His help, you will learn. Why? Because you have potentially the thoughts of Christ that will overrule your thoughts. You have the mind of Christ. I know what you're thinking. If I have the mind of Christ, why do I still think the thoughts I've always thought? Why do I still battle with, and then you fill in the blank, a guilt, greed, a racism, lust, insecurity? Well, I have a three-word answer to that question. Uproot and replant. I know that sounds more like a gardening class, but really it's a thinking class. Work with me on this. Uproot, uproot. When I was a kid, my dad put me in charge of our lawn one summer. I was 12 years old, too young for a true summer job, and so he put me in charge of the lawn. My first assignment was to eliminate all the grass burrs. We had a bunch of grass burrs. I hope you never have a run-in with a grass burr. They grow on a stalk that rises sometimes 4 or 5 inches out of the ground. Pity the poor outfielder who falls into a patch of grass burrs. Pity the poor barefoot kid who runs over a bunch. You know, my brother and I used to throw them at each other, kind of like they were tomahawks. Such a happy family. Grass burrs are not fun. So my dad told me to get rid of the grass burrs. He was smart to tell me to deal with them. I was not so smart in the way I chose to do so. I cranked up the lawnmower, mowed them down, easy peasy. Dad came home to a freshly cut lawn. He was initially impressed, but then about a week later, when the grass returned, guess what returned as well? The grass burrs. So Dad gave me more detailed instructions. He took a spade, led me out into the yard, got down on his knees, had me get down on his knees with him, and he said, "Watch me." And he one by one dug into the ground and uprooted the grass burrs. And then he said, "Here, you do it." And he watched as I did it. And then he got his own spade. And he said, now I want us to pull each one of those out of the ground. I said, each one? He said, each one. I said, that'll take a long time. He said, well, not if I help you. And so he did. And so it was. After a weekend of weed pulling, we had a grass burr free lawn. Now, your mind is that lawn. Your mind is that lawn. And society, Satan, bad people, they come at us with these seeds that result in weeds. Thoughts of criticism, thoughts of accusation. We call these UFOs, an untruth that leads to a false narrative that leads to an overreaction. UFO. Everything starts with an untruth. A weed in your thought process is a grass burr, and it hurts. They prick. They agitate. They aggravate. They sour your mood. They embitter your heart. They create insecurity. They turn you into a grumpy gut. They lead you to make poor choices. They load your life with unnecessary weight. So what do? Well, you might try to mow them down, give yourself a few pep talks, attend a feel-good-about-yourself seminar, put nice little positive mental attitude quotes all over your bathroom. That's good, but that's just cutting them down. They'll return. God has a better plan, and that is he will help you yank them out by the roots. My dad handed me a garden spade. Your heavenly Father gives you scripture. He gives you his word. He gives you truth, and it's the truth that sets you free. So he gives you truth and urges you to treat the lies of hell with the truth of heaven. Now, our master, Jesus, modeled this for us. You'll recall that he was assaulted by Satan in the wilderness. Satan said to him, if you are the Son of God, he said this because Jesus, just days earlier, had heard the voice of heaven say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so Satan comes and says, essentially, prove it. If you're really the Son of God, prove it. He said, tell this stone to become bread. He said, worship before me, and it will all be yours. And took him up on the temple and said, throw yourself down. He was saying, prove it, prove it. Jesus gave him no quarter, cut him no slack, did not even open the door. Jesus immediately responded with the same phrase, three temptations, three responses. It is written, and it is said. He dealt with Satan's lies by quoting scripture. No razzle-dazzle, no Messiah-only miracles, no lightning bolt, no fire from heaven. He quoted the Bible. He quoted the Bible. He quoted scripture. Now, if the Bible was enough for his thought management, do you think it might be enough for ours? Everything you and I need to uproot weeds is right here in this book. We simply need to heed it. The scripture says his powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether it be doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one can resist God's word. So recall our question. If I have the mind of Christ, why do I think the thoughts I've always thought? Well, could it be that you have yet to really treat those untruths with God's truth? Could it be you're just mowing down the weeds and your heavenly Father is saying, oh no, let's get serious. And he says, let's pull them out. And you say, pull them out? Each one? Each one. Well, that'll take time. Not if I help you. Now, here's where my illustration falls short. My dad was not going to let me get out of pulling those weeds. I didn't volunteer for that. That was my job given to me by the authority in the household. So I had no choice. But you know what? You do. You do. I mean, you can live the rest of your life with weedy thoughts if you want. And many people do. And one reason people do is because getting started in this process is hard work. As some of your toxic thoughts have deep root systems. They go back in your childhood. Or they're inherent to your ethnicity. Or you've been taught this by people that you respected only to realize later in life, wait, that's not right. And so some of these are not easy. I get that. And consequently, there are many people, they just kind of go through life with these prickly thoughts in their mind. But I don't want you to be one of them. I don't want you to be one of them. With God's help, you can pull them out. You can uproot them. But that's not enough. It's great to be out with the old, but also it's right to be in with the new. We uproot and we replant. One of the most interesting parables that Jesus ever taught. It's an intriguing teaching. And in it, Jesus describes a demon who had been cast out of the person. And the demon goes about looking for a new home, and it never finds one. Instead, Jesus said, the demon said, I'll return to the house I moved out of. And so it goes back to find that the house is vacant, warm, and ready to move in. This is the person who has just cut the grass burrs down. They've kind of cleaned up. They have a nice outward appearance, but they have yet to receive Christ. They have yet to receive the Holy Spirit. They have yet to employ Scripture in their hearts. They just have kind of cleaned things up. This might be that person we've all met that's got just enough of religion to make them miserable. You know, they're trying to look good, but inside they're empty. This key word here is vacant. Vacant. Did I already show that Scripture? When it comes back on, yeah, there it is. Vacant. It's empty. So it comes back, the demon does, since the house is empty. And, sorry guys, I'm jumping around on the text. Move on to 12:45. There it is. So it goes looking for seven other demons, more evil than itself, and they enter to live there. Then the person's condition becomes much worse than it was in the beginning. So what was the mistake of the person? He uprooted, but he didn't replant. There was nothing inside. The call of this story is to refurnish your interior, replenish your interior, and do so with God's truth, with His Word, to refurnish our hearts with the gospel, to ruminate, to meditate, to contemplate, to fixate our thoughts on His truth. The story reminds us to be continually, continually filled with the Holy Spirit. The key word is continually, moment by moment, day by day. Now, this is different than the Eastern concept of meditation. You've seen pictures, maybe participated, as the shaman sits with the cross-legged on the floor and incense is burning. And one of the things he's doing in meditation is he wants to empty his mind. Biblical meditation goes further. Biblical meditation is the act of filling the mind, not just emptying the mind, but filling the mind, ruminating, meditating on God's Word. The Hebrew word for meditate is the same as the Hebrew word for ruminate. So I wasn't just making all that up. When we chew on the cud, when we ruminate, when we reflect, we're following the command of Scripture to meditate. I love Psalm 119, verses 15 and 16. I will meditate. It's ruminate, same word. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Here's a picture of a person who's chewing the cud. They're meditating on Scripture. They have laid claim to a particular promise in the Bible, and they're going to chew. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, let your requests be made known to God. They're meditating, they're reflecting, they're chewing, and they're savoring God's goodness through His Word. So it's not enough just to uproot the bad weed. That's essential. But we must replant with good seed. Elsewhere, the Apostle Paul said, let the peace that Christ gives you, what? Control your thinking. It controls your thinking. Well, that sounds great, but how does it work? Well, look at the next verse. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you. Isn't that great? Flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the Scriptures as you teach and instruct one another. We let the word of Christ, he says, dwell in us richly. It brings great benefit. It pays dividends. It comes richly. This is the promise of Jesus. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's why Satan doesn't want you to know the truth. He wants you to be stuck with an untruth. I'll never move up. I'll never be good. Nobody likes me. He wants you to live in that world of an untruth. But when you find a truth and you begin to build your life on it, you find freedom. You will know the truth, and this truth will set you free. Let's practice. Okay, tomorrow morning, the alarm goes off. And you wake up from a good deep sleep only to think this thought, oh, yuck, it's Monday. Oof. Okay, the room is still dark. Your head is still on the pillow, still in your pajamas, whatever you sleep in. Brain is still a bit foggy, and you know it's time to get up, but then you've got all these grass burrs coming at you. Oh, man, I've got so much work. Nobody can do all the work I have to do. This is cruddy. Why is it I have to do all the work? Why didn't so-and-so do the work? I'll never get all this work done. I was potty trained too early. Nobody loves me anymore. I should have been raised in a healthier, wealthier home. Yeah, they just come pouring in. And you've not even climbed out of bed. Does anybody relate? Sometimes this happens in the middle of the night. Sometimes it happens all the time. What I'm praying is we can help it stop happening. So here you are tomorrow morning, still in the dark, still in your pillow, still in your pajamas, still in bed, and then you have this thought. Wait a second. What was that Locato said? Something about cows and cud. Something about seed and weeds. Something about uprooting and replanting. Okay, I know he's kind of a weird preacher, but I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to see if it works. And so you begin talking to Jesus right there in your thoughts, talking to Jesus. Say, Jesus, this weed here, this grass burr, would you help me? And that one request is the invitation that Jesus needs to step with you out onto the lawn of your life, the lawn of your thoughts. And he kneels down with you, and he begins to work on pulling those out, pulling them out one at a time. And as you pull them out, you agree with him. Say, I don't need to have this thought. This is not a true thought. That's you're in agreement. You're revealing, and you're pulling them out. But then you're beginning to replant. And where there was an empty spot, since there's a vacant house, now you want to fill it. You want to come back and fill it. And you fill it with truth. You fill it with truth. Maybe Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. God said, I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a future. Or maybe Romans 8 and verse 32. God will surely give us all things. Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do much more than anything we could ever ask for. Or my favorite, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And you begin to ruminate. You begin to meditate. You begin to fixate. You begin to contemplate. Are there any other words that end in eight? I can't think of any. But you just focus and you chew on it. And you say, okay, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's no longer I who live. It is Christ who lives in me. He is for me, not against me. If God is for you, then who can be against you? And these words, these verses, they start to bubble up. And little by little, you begin to realize, wait a second. I'm going to live in the world of truth today. I'm going to meditate on this truth. You have uprooted, and now you can replant. You can do this. You can do this. Let's pray about this, okay? Let's all stand up. You're not alone if you have some type of habitual thinking that seems to suck you under. You're not alone. We've all wrestled with it. But the good news is the Lord Jesus will help you wrestle with it. Would you like to be prayed for? If you would, please just step out, come up to the front, and we're going to welcome the Holy Spirit. And as you're coming to the front, let me just kind of anticipate a couple of questions. You say, well, Max, that's good, but I don't know any verses. That's okay. You can find verses. You can find verses. Where do you find verses? Well, find them in your Bible. Google. Verses of encouragement. The reason God invented Google is to help us manage our thoughts. No, not sure God invented Google. Listen, anyway. You can do this. You can do this. It's helpful to visit with a counselor. It's very helpful to talk to a Christian therapist. It really is. Or talk to a pastor. But you can let Jesus be your counselor. Let Jesus be your therapist. Let him just kind of work with you on this. So equip yourself with three or four little bumper sticker-sized, bite-sized scriptures and be able to pull them out whenever your thoughts surface. Find a verse that meets your problem and make a prayer out of it. Just find a verse. Find your verse. Lay claim to it and build your life around it. Now, Heavenly Father, look at these, your children. They're just asking for help. They're just asking for your strength. You have given them the mind of Christ, and they want to think the thoughts of Christ. You're going to do a great work. You're going to do a great work. Now, tell Jesus whatever it is that you want to get rid of. Thoughts of, and you fill in the blank. Lead you. He wants you to have his truth. Remember, he in the wilderness said, it is said, it is said, it is said. He wants you to be able to say, it is said, it is said. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. It is said, all things work for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It is said, God is love. God is love. It is said, you are seated in the heavens at the right hand of God. It is said. Lord Jesus, let your children find that message that will strengthen them and once and for all uproot these thoughts and replant the thoughts of truth. I speak again a special prayer for young people whose minds are so whiplashed by social media, by comparison, by contrast. We speak against any idea or thought of suicide. We should speak against it. Not here. Not among these, your children. You have destined them for a great future. I pray a blessing on the senior saints that I see who are wrestling, even wondering if they're losing their minds sometimes. can't remember things like they used to. Speak words of truth over them. And those who are living with this idea that it'll never get better, we stand against that. That's not true. We stand against it. It will get better. It will. All things work together. We are in your hands. Heavenly Father, we know you fight our battles for us. Please continue to fight them today. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I hate to ask you to return to your seats, but I guess I have to. So go ahead. So we're going to pick this up again next week, folks. Now, here's what we said so far. We said just because you have a thought, you don't have to think it. Now, you may say, well, everybody knows that. Well, not everybody knows that. Especially our young people need to be taught that. This, because you have a thought, you don't have to think it. And then number two, you truly can take thoughts captive. These UFOs, these untruths that lead to false narratives, that lead to overreactions. You look at an overreaction, you can trace it all the way back to an untruth. So we try to identify truth. And then number three, today, now that we've identified the untruth, we uproot it and we replant it. So now we're going to practice this. We're going to practice this. Did I have all that up on a slide? These are our topics for the next few weeks. When you feel overwhelmed. Come on, there it is. Okay, it's my fault, church. It's my fault. I've been jumping around. They're going crazy down there in the tech room. Okay, we're going to talk about when you feel overwhelmed next week. When you battle with guilt, we'll be talking about that. When you can't find joy the next week. When lust lures you, we'll be talking about that. When you need peace, and on and on and on. We have about 7 or 8 of these, and you will find some, you say, well, that's not my problem, but then you'll find 3 or 4, you say, oh, that's me. And we're going to practice applying truth to these untruths. And by the end of it, God being our helper, we'll be better thinkers because we will think about what we think about.